Today on this episode of True Friend with Corey Montel Scott.
Being a worship leader was never on my radar. I told God, hey, I wanted to be an R&B singer. I said, just let me go ahead and sing R&B and I'll be good. I'll be out of the way. I won't have to live holy. Won't have to live right. Won't have to be accountable. Just let me sing R&B.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you so much for tuning in to this episode of True Friend with Corey Montel Scott. Now, if you want to stay up to date on future episodes, make sure you click that subscribe button down below. The guest today is a staple in my hometown. I think she is one of the innovative, independent voices out of Columbia, South Carolina. And she's someone who I've looked up to since I first saw her in middle school perform live, and we'll talk all about that. But ladies and gentlemen, who am I talking about? That is the one and the only Miss Regina Skeeters.
Hi, what an intro. You put a whole lot of pressure on me. How are you?
I'm doing very good. I'm so glad that you're here and you're spending some time to sit and talk about your career and how amazing you have been to me, and I'm sure so many others.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the opportunity. I appreciate it.
I like to ask every guest, give them the opportunity to say it in their own words, who they believe they are. So I'm going to ask you, who is Regina Skeeters, and how would you define yourself to someone who has never met or heard of you before?
Oh, goodness. As you all know, as we said before, my name is Regina. I'm from a small town, the sparkling town of Conway, South Carolina, near Myrtle Beach. I love God. I'm a recording artist. The worship and arts director at the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road. I think I'm a loving person, a little quirky at times, creative. I take lots of pride also in being a caregiver of my mom. Just simply Regina. It's like a pot of gumbo. It's a whole lot of things mixed in it. But I'm grateful for all the mixtures. So.
Absolutely. And you mentioned your mom, your singing mother.
Yes.
Wherever we have seen you, we've seen her. And so I kind of even feel, you know, silly to ask it in a way of, was music a part of your childhood? So I'm going to ask it this way. What is your earliest memory of having a connection to music and singing?
Goodness. I can remember my first solo. And unfortunately, I enjoyed music all my life. My first solo kind of bombed. But that also kind of taught me perseverance as well. But I can remember being in early elementary school, hearing music, hearing my mom sing, watching her, looking at artists like the Clark Sisters, the Pace Sisters, and jazz, Barbara Streisand. I also had an aunt who would always play country music for me just to make sure that I was well-rounded. So I grew up loving country music. I grew up loving classical music and just different things like that. So I would say maybe age 5 to 7, but music was always in my house.
I mean, that's a smorgasbord of genres, and you're talking about the Pace Sisters and the Clark Sisters and country. Who are some of your musical influences, the people who have shaped who you are vocally and musically?
Goodness, my mom, of course. I love Kim Burrell. I love Barbara Streisand. I love Brandy. I love Frank Sinatra. I love Nat King Cole. Like I said, it's a gumbo of different things. Those vocals have really shaped who I am. I listen to my aunts, listening to sounds back home, the good people tapping on the wooden floor, people singing Common Meter, people singing the old school gospel tunes that shaped and made me who I am today.
Now, Regina, my earliest memory of you and watching you perform was actually when you played Mary, the Virgin Mary in Soulful Noel.
Oh, my. That was about 85 years ago.
Yeah, with great Walter Rutledge. I was supposed to be in the show as part of the company, and I had another show at another theater, workshop theater around the corner, and the dates conflicted. But I wanted to see it so much. So right after my performance, I actually was able to catch the second act. And it was there that I was able to witness something that I probably think of, if not every day, then maybe every other day. But it was Jennifer Holliday singing Mary Did You Know to you. And I'd never heard Mary Did You Know before. Do you have any memories from your time working with that production and the legendary Miss Jennifer Holliday?
Goodness, I'm like a sponge, so I always learn different things. It was great learning stage etiquette. It was great learning, sharpening my craft as it relates to acting, vocal control, even dealing with working with Mr. Walter Rutledge was amazing. Just being in the atmosphere, just being able to be a part of what was going on, just being able to listen in and learn from the greats. And the vocal control of Jennifer Holliday, I mean, she's been in it for decades and she still sounds amazing. There are lots of times in which you see artists who've been in music for many, many years and their voice, some of the voices have dwindled, but Jennifer Holliday is like a staple. Just watching her maneuver, watching her level of professionalism has really helped me out in a great way. So I had a chance to learn that the dancers, just everything. It was just great to be a part.
And what I have to applaud you for is being able to maintain your composure and be a professional actress while Jennifer Holliday is screaming and hollering in your face and doing what she does.
It was hard. I was like, "Whoa, she just hit that note. Did y'all just hear her say that note?" But of course, I couldn't.
Oh my God.
And I want Mr. Rutledge to kick me out. it was amazing, an amazing experience.
And you're a phenomenal actress too. I've been blessed to see you in a couple of other stage plays. Yesterday is Gone, I believe the name of the play mm-hmm. was. And then there was a film that I saw you in. You played someone's girlfriend. The name is slipping my head, but you have the chops for it. And I think that's amazing that God uses you in the ways that he uses you and that you are so humble as you are. So I applaud that.
I actually wanted to be an actress first before a singer. My mom voluntold me and a whole lot of things, but I'm glad that I had a parent that and people that saw something in me. I said, "Hey, I don't want to sing. I don't want to act." Mama said, "I want to act." My mom said, "Well, you know what? We know that you want to act. That's great, but you're going to go sing this song. So this is what you're going to sing. This is where we're going to be, and you're going to do it." So I'm glad that I had a mom who allowed me to do all of those things, and she wouldn't allow me to stop singing just because I want to do something else more. But she all cultivated me and as was that. So yes, I've always loved acting.
You graduated from Benedict College. You're mm-hmm. actually featured in Ebony Magazine as Miss Benedict College. Were you under the direction of Minister Daryl Izard?
Of course. The great Minister Terrence Sedaril Izard. He's going to get me the whole name, right? Just an amazing person. He also molded and shaped me, and as well as other artists that you know of. Just being able to watch him and watch how he maneuvers, and even as it relates to the way that he teaches songs and the way that he carries himself. He had the Daryl Izard Performing Arts Camp years ago, and that also encouraged me to start my camp. It's called the Blend Outlaw Performing Arts Camp, where we have choir, percussion, character building skills, dance, television production, and more. So he really shaped me and molded me.
So what did that experience being with the Benedict College Gospel Choir teach you, and how did it prepare you for all that you have done since then?
First of all, disciplined. And other choir settings or rehearsal settings, I'm not going to say that it's a free-for-all. It's like anyway, the discipline was much higher. He taught me the art of discipline, the art of working on your craft, not thinking that just because you have a talent that it's okay, knowing that you'll have to work on it. You'll have to always be forever a student. Goodness, we prepared for choir competitions. And I remember certain times we would have to stand in the middle of the aisle and just stand at attention for minutes, 30 minutes, 25 minutes, because it taught us discipline. Of course, preparing us for the competitions that we were in, but just knowing that everything, once you hit the stage, everything matters. They look at everything from how you walk on the stage to how you leave the stage. And to go a little bit deeper, knowing that you're always on stage, even if you're an artist or a worship leader or whatever it is that you're, if you're a leader or in the limelight in some capacity, you're always on stage. So how you carry yourself really matters. So that's what I learned from him, and I'm still learning from him.
So fast forwarding a little bit, in 2004, you released your debut project, Breathe On Me, which put all my trust. Was that written for the Benedict College Gospel Choir, actually?
Yeah, it was written for the Benedict College Gospel Choir, and then I put it on my record. It was written by myself and Kevin Staley, so we were excited to have the opportunity to even have a placement on the Say the Word album. And we've done the remix before, just different things like that, and people, I believe the people are still being blessed by that song.
I mean, it's you know, even at that age, I was probably, I don't know, I think I was introduced to you maybe 2 or 3 years after that, you know, with Soulful mm-hmm. Noel. But when I listen to it, it has that timeless feel. It, to me, captures the entire essence of that time, what gospel music felt like, what music in general felt like. What do you remember from the development of that project? Because to be honest, you were really one of the first indie, to me, the first indie Columbia artist to be really pushed out there. I mean, we had Christ in You, who had their Forever yes. project. And then, to me, it was Christ in You and Regina Skeeters. What do you remember from that time and the development of that project?
I had the opportunity to work with Mr. Byron Counts, Snoop Macklemore. Goodness, who else was on that? Sam Jenkins, Adrian Porter. Oh, goodness. It was just great. I learned a lot working with the different musicians. I learned a lot working with different vocal techs and people in the studio, studio engineers. I had a great time writing on the project, going through different emotions, trying my best to produce not something that would be catchy or trendy, but something that would be timeless and something that would resonate in the hearts of the people. So it was great working with different musicians, and I'm getting an opportunity to hear from the listeners, if you will. Also working with radio, at that point it was a WFMV 95.3. It's 96.9, I believe now. But also being fortunate enough to getting radio play, not just in Columbia, but abroad, because during those times we didn't have a lot of spaces for independent artists. Unfortunately, a lot of independent artists were not played on certain radio stations. So I felt extremely grateful to have been chosen to get radio play for that, because I always say people don't have to play your songs. They don't have to be nice. They don't have to even consider you. So it was an honor and a privilege just to receive radio play and the support of my local family, as well as on an international realm of the song. It went internationally as well. So I'm just grateful for that.
And, you know, one thing I can say, and I'm sure the people who are watching are recognizing that every time I've been around you, you have been the epitome of integrity, holiness.
Why?
You can't find too many people that can say something bad about Regina Skeeters. Now, I haven't found nobody.
Goodness.
But you can't, Lord, praise God.
Maybe it has been looking good enough. Just kidding.
But you know, you're one of the names that if you should happen to come up in a conversation about something, everybody in the room, their faces light up and they're ready to start telling all those great things about you. What motivates you to make your answer a God answer and to do the God thing, not only in public, but in private as well?
Mm-hmm. Just thinking about the people that I have the opportunity to lead. Thinking about the opportunity just to do what I do. And also sometimes sometimes there is no motivation. Sometimes you just have to do what is right just because it's right. Now, am I always doing what is right? Do I fail? Of course I do. But sometimes I have to move past motivation and to just simply know that this is what's right. This is what you're supposed to do. This is how you're supposed to carry yourself. It goes beyond motivation sometimes. As the seasoned saints will say, that's when the Holy Ghost kicks in and tells you, you know, you got to do right. You got to live right. You got to do what you're supposed to do. You got to live right by people. And as much as possible, be a person of integrity. So sometimes I'm motivated, and then I guess to answer your question, and then I'm not motivated, and it still has to go past that motivation. But God definitely helps me. He definitely helps me.
Is that character that has led you to all the stages that you've been blessed to be on? I remember you opening up for Fantasia one time. I was there on the front row. But we also saw you on the classic. I mean, have you late on Sunday mornings, the Bobby Jones Gospel Show.
Oh, yes.
Singing It Could Have Been Me, which is a song that was originally recorded with Dorinda Clark Cole, Dorothy Norwood with Dorinda Clark Cole. But you were blessed to perform that alongside her.
That's crazy. Because I wasn't supposed to be there. That is an amazing. That was a process.
Tell the story, and then I'm gonna tell you what I learned from you watching that.
Well, Evangelist Dorinda Clark Cole was supposed to sing that on the day, and that was like one of the last recordings of the Bobby Jones Gospel Show. And I've always wanted to be on the Bobby Jones Gospel Show. And I told myself, I said, well, this is the last season. I told myself mentally, all right, well, pick another goal because you're not going to make it. You're not going to be there. All right. I was like, okay, that's cool. Now I was okay in my mind. And so I received a phone call from Mr. Keith Vogel, who was also one of the MDs for Miss Dorothy Norwood. And he said, hey, Miss Dorinda's going to be out of town. She's looking for someone to, be a part or sing along beside her for this event. And I said, okay, I'll give it a shot. So they gave me the song, went to the studio really quickly, and I just let her hear what it is that I could do. And, you know, she got the track and she was like, okay, you know, I like your voice. But she says, you know, it's going to be a quick transition. She says, can you be in Washington, D.C. in the next day or so? I was like, yeah, definitely. And I was like, you know, so long story short, we went back through the different processes where I wasn't going to be able to do it because she had changed her mind. And then hours later, you know, she was like, you know what? Can you make it to D.C. in a day or so? I said, sure, I can. So, but I had an opportunity to stand in for a legend and sing beside a legend. So, it was just an amazing experience. And I always say, never say what you can't do. Never say that it's too late to do a certain thing. God showed me in that moment. He says, okay, well, I'm going to do what I said I'm going to do. Even though it looked crazy, even though it looked like the door was about to close, I had an opportunity to make the final taping of the Bobby Jones Show. That would air on BET, the final weekend of what decades of the Bobby Jones Show. So that really blew my mind there. And I also had an opportunity, of course, to meet the great Dorothy Norwood. I got there that morning. We went over that. We did a quick rehearsal. And then to the stage we went. And that was it. So it was, I was grateful. And it just so happened that Evangelist Dorinda Cole was in Brazil with my pastor. Go figure.
Wow.
So it worked out. It really worked out. So never say what God can't do, even if it looks like it's the ninth hour, even if it looks like God is not going to come through. Always stand ready because he can come in. They always say he may not come when you want to. He'll come right on time. So that was a lesson that I learned.
It taught me the importance of silence. I didn't know the details of the story before now, but hearing how it was a back and forth, she was going to do it, she wasn't, she changed her mind, and finally, you know, they wanted you to do it. But there are a lot of independent artists, not just in South Carolina, but I would think across the world, who sometimes they may get good news, and we get to doing this real fast. And what I appreciated about you is that nobody knew, as small as Columbia is in the music scene, nobody knew until it happened. And what a masterclass you doing that taught me as somebody who would later go on and be able to record some things and work with various people, the importance of silence. What can you say to the up-and-coming artists and maybe even the ones who are established about the importance of silence?
Like you said, it's extremely important. You want to make sure that you don't sabotage what God is doing. A lot of times it is our own mouths that can destroy whatever's going on. I think it's like a baby. When a baby's first born, you know, you don't let everybody in the room with the baby. You don't want, you want the baby to be healthy. You want the baby to, like a pregnancy, we'll go back there. You want to make sure that the pregnancy is carried full term. You don't want to jeopardize that baby. You don't want to jeopardize what God is doing. Oh, so it's great to move in silence. And then you may be surprised or you may not be surprised sometimes when we're talking prematurely or putting things out prematurely, there may be someone in your circle that may not be as happy for you, that maybe they may be with you, but they may not be with you, if I'm making sense. So we want to make sure that we move in silence. We want to make sure that our baby, our dreams, our goals and visions are carried full term. We want to make sure there are no complications. We don't want to give the enemy any room to destroy or sabotage or just do anything. And then sometimes certain projects may not come on the date that you said they were going to come on, you know, so you want to give yourself, take the pressure away and not say, I am about to drop this album, blah, blah, blah. You haven't even gone to the studio yet. There are no songs. Nothing is going on. And let's just say you don't make that date. And here it is. You're under the pressure of having to perform. And then sometimes it causes you to rush. And that's not what you want. You want to make sure whenever you put out a project or whenever you put out that dream or that vision, that it's the way in which you need it to be. Even as it relates to Joseph, we all know the story. Joseph, I don't know if he would have gotten, and everything worked out in his favor, of course, but I'm not sure if Joseph would have gotten thrown in the pit that day had he not opened up his mouth and told his brothers, hey, you know, I dreamt about the blah, 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 and, you know, all you are going to serve me one day. Just all the things that he said. We just have to make sure that we're not careful. We talk about the enemy. A lot of times we want to make sure that we're not our own enemy. And we want to make sure that we don't stop our mouths, don't stop what God is doing. So. Yeah, but silence is definitely the key. Even self-restraint, and even as it relates to how you carry yourself, and you know, sometimes what is on your mind isn't always great to say, or you know, just it's yeah. Silence is so wonderful. It's wonderful. It will save your life.
Regina, you've gone on to release in 2009. You released your relationship EP. You even released a book recently, yes. A few years ago, Unexplainable Worship. So you're an author. We can add that to the list of things that you do. What does it mean to you that God continues to not only create new songs, new sounds, and new music, but new works through you that your mind probably would have never went to? What does that mean to you that God trusts you with all the things that he's trusted you with?
First of all, I'm glad, as you said before, that God has trusted me. Let me tell you a quick story. Being a worship leader was never on my radar. I told God, hey, I wanted to be an R&B singer. I said, just let me go ahead and sing R&B, and I'll be good. I'll be out of the way. I won't have to live holy. Won't have to live right. Won't have to be accountable. Just let me sing R&B. God said absolutely, positively nothing. There wasn't a response. I guess he gave the gift of silence that day, you know. But with that, I'm so grateful that God's thoughts are not our thoughts. I'm glad that his ways are not like our ways. I'm grateful that I have an opportunity to be a worship leader. How did I become a worship leader? I was in my church. I'm a part of the All Nations Church of God in Christ under the leadership of Bishop Matam Jefferson and Lady Tarsha Jefferson. And I was in a church service one day, and the worship team, they were recording artists, and they went out of town. They were members of Total Glory, an all-girl group that was just an amazing, they had amazing sound in the early 2000s. And so my pastor was like, Regina, come up here. He put together a praise team that day. He said, hey, Regina, you come lead a song. So-and-so, you come lead a song, and we'll make a praise team. I was like, okay, how hard can that be? So after I had an opportunity to lead praise and worship, my pastor called me in the back room. He said, hey, you're going to be the worship leader for this church. And I said in my mind, I know that you're prophetic, but I know that you miss God today because I am nobody's worship leader. I do not appreciate worship. I cannot lead worship. point blank period, as the kids would say. But that's how I became a worship leader. And ever since then, it has been so rewarding. I have the opportunity to currently serve as the Worship and Arts Director of the Bible Boy Church of Alice Road under the leadership of Pastor Daryl Jackson and First Lady Willie Mae Jackson. And I've had the opportunity to serve churches, of course, getting the blessing of my bishop. But I've had the opportunity in the past, oh my goodness, 20 years to serve churches, to talk about the art of worship. It's kind of crazy, as I said before, how God orchestrates things, because I would have never thought in a million years that I would be anybody's worship leader or minister of music or anything like that. But I am so, I'm grateful. And we always say, before we begin worship, we don't have to worship, but we get to worship. We don't have to clap our hands, but we get to clap our hands. We get to administer healing unto people through music. And also the book, Unexplainable Worship, that was also not a good idea, but it was also a God idea. Again, I had another plan in mind. I wanted to release a book of something else. The Lord said, worship. I didn't say anything. After a while, I said, okay, you know something that I don't know, so let's go, let's do it. So Unexplainable Worship came out, and the audiobook is also available as well. But it's an easy read, and it talks about, of course, worship and how to create an unexplainable worship experience in your churches, in your homes. If the church has an attendance roster of 5 to 5,000, just creating that unexplainable worship experience. We also talk about one of the foundations of worship, and one of the foundations of worship is not always the best voice. It's not always skills and talents. Of course, you want to have the skills and talents. Now, let's be clear. But the foundation is the heart posture. You can be an amazing singer, but your heart can be far from God, and you can be ineffective. But we try our best to train individuals and talk to them about the importance of being a worshiper, a 360-degree worshiper. A worship is not just the song. Worship is how you treat people. A worship is in your giving. A worship is how you carry yourself, because we're supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God. Gosh, worship is just, again, just so many things. And even in the Bible, one of the first times that worship was mentioned was when Abraham had to go up and present his son. He said he was going to go up to the place where the Lord told him to go to, and they would worship there. That was one of the first times that worship was mentioned. It wasn't, you know, praising him with the Timberland dance and things like that. Of course, that's in there, but he had to make a sacrifice. It was a heart posture that had to be offered. It was obedience. That is also a form of worship. He had to be obedient, even into the hard stuff. And a lot of times people will box worship in or minimize worship to a song, to a slow song, if you will. The second song in praise and worship after a fast song, which they call it praise. That's not praise. And worship is not a slow song. Worship is a heart posture, you know. So, but yeah, so this is where I am now with worship. And as I said before, I'm glad that God didn't allow me to be an R&B singer. I'm so glad, because you all would have seen me on the news, would have been somewhere, you know, first class drunk. I mean, you just never know. So many things could have gone wrong with that. But God definitely knows that I am so grateful. I'm just this grateful that he orchestrated my life the way that he has. So,
and it's so real. I've had the pleasure of playing keys for you a couple of times. Mm-hmm. And it was one Christmas. And you sing "O Come Let Us Adore Him." We've heard "O Come Let Us Adore Him" 10 billion times growing up. We know it. We've been known it. You sung it for about 15 days, it felt like, and I never wanted you to stop. Never, ever wanted you to stop, because in that moment, you were giving me something that I never considered about that song, that I never understood. I'm like, yeah, he is worthy to be adored. Yeah, let's adore him, because The way that you meant it, and you were undying in your elaboration of saying, no, I really mean this thing. My sister texted me probably a few months ago, do you still have that recording of Regina singing, oh, come let us adore him? Because someone took the sound system that night and they put it on their SoundCloud. And so it's out there. It's just the audio. But I sent her all like 15 minutes. And it is that's something you should record for real. And I mean, record it, make it, times it by two, do a whole 30-minute track and call it an album, because you really proved the point. And that to me is what makes you so great. The fact that you can take something that is one line, oh, come, let us adore him, six words, and drive it the way that you did and make a story out of it was remarkable.
Thank you.
So what is next for Miss Regina Skeeters?
Goodness. Okay. So I have the opportunity to play the role of Bessie May. I'm in Jonathan Green's Off the Wall and Onto the Stage. That is a ballet. And am I going to be dancing? Of course not. Am I going to be doing ballet? Of course not. But I get a chance, as I said before, to play the role of Bessie May. And it's kind of like a juke joint scene, if you will. And it's so funny. Bessie May is actually a woman that is well endowed. So they put pillows in me to portray the role of this amazingly plump, beautiful female. And so that's what I'll be doing. I had the opportunity to do two shows in Charleston on last weekend. And actually tonight we'll be in Columbia at the Township Auditorium. And I'll be playing the role of Bessie May. Also, at the Bible Church of Atlas Road, we have our Worship and Arts Conference. It's going to be held October the 18th and 19th at the Bible Church of Atlas Road. So please, all worship leaders, all creatives, musicians, please come out. Bishop James Rosen will be our speaker on the 18th. And he's one of the former Worship and Arts Directors, by the way. And he knows the ins and outs of pouring into the creatives, pouring into musicians. And also the next day, we have Tangi Beattie with Wow Productions. She'll be doing a drama class. I'll be talking about worship. We also have the great Sean Bigby, who is the Worship and Arts Director of the Right Direction Church International. We have a legend, Mr. Richard Odom, who was the founder of the Tri-City Singers. He'll be doing the choir sessions. And also we have Dr. Rosemary Griffith, who is the choir director of all choir directors. She's like the mother of all choir directors. And she's coming. She's going to be with our children's choir. We also have the great Eric Bryce, who has played for Aaliyah. He's played for Commission, so many different people that he's played for. He's a legend in his own right. He'll be teaching as well. We also have Sister Natalia Bostic, who'll be doing a dance class, other dance classes. Mr. Todd Caldwell, who'll be doing media. It's only for the low cost of $25 for adults. And lunch and breakfast will be served. We also have children there as well. And the cost for the children will be $10. We'll also have our Blend Out Loud crew that will accommodate our youth and children ages 5 to 7. And of course, they'll learn the importance of worship, because we want to make sure that we train up the next generation. You know, I heard Alpheus Anderson say that no youth, no church, you know, that he has a book on that. And he also says that the church without children, without youth, is considered a dying church. So another thing that I've also learned as relates to being the worship and arts director or minister of music or whatever, is that I always want to make sure that I look for the next person. I want to make sure that I train up my replacement, because you're not going to be doing the same thing forever. You want to make sure that you don't block the next generation or die out of your position. But no, you want to have them right by your side to train them up to do better than you whenever they grab the mic or whenever they grab the instrument, but you want to train them to be better to make sure that the next generation that will be in good hands in the years to come. So at the Bible Way Church of Atlas Road, we pride ourselves in training up the next. It's nothing to see our junior praise team mixed in with our adult praise team, getting an opportunity to minister so that they can, they won't be afraid when it's time to go to the big church, if you will, or the big pulpit. But we're definitely having that worship and arts conference to train our children to make sure that they're prepared for what is to come. So that's what's going on for me. What else is going on with me? Just a few other things. Oh, also, Christmas is coming up, and I had an opportunity to do the cover of My Favorite Things. I love Broadway musicals. I love The Sound of Music. So Christmas is almost here, believe it or not. So download the Regina Skeeters version of My Favorite Things. Also, check out reginaskeeters.com. There's also a different videos and music and different things like that. So think that you like what you see. And yeah, so that's what's going on. And I'm open to the whatevers of God, I'll say. I'm excited about what's next. I don't know all of what is next. I named a few things, but I'm excited for some reason. Just really excited. So I'll just stay there.
Regina, what makes you smile?
Oh, goodness. The fact that I get to inhale and exhale without the assistance of a machine, the fact that my eyes opened, it really doesn't take a whole lot to get me going. It doesn't take a lot to make me smile. Whenever I wake up in the morning, I always say, God, thank you for allowing me to get to do this thing that we call life. Yeah, that's what makes me smile, that I get to do. Every day that I wake up, I get a do-over. And I always say that I'm definitely not perfect. You know, there are days that I have my day, just like anybody else. Every day, the sun isn't always shining. I'm not always skipping through the daisies and going, here we go, loop-de-loop. No. But the truth of the matter is, God does it. He does it. Again, the sun shines. Life is not as bad as it could have been. It could have been. God is better to me than I deserve. When I think about stuff like that, and even as it relates to my mother, I'm getting a chance to be a caregiver for her. She had a second stroke on Father's Day, and right now, she doesn't have any motion on the right side of her body. And most people would say, oh, goodness, I'm going to go into a state of depression. Oh, goodness, it's just, you know, gloom and doom. But the fact that she's here and the fact that she has another chance to be a part of this thing called life. We work with her every day doing physical therapy. She doesn't talk as much as she used to. She doesn't sing, but I play music. You know, she gets a chance to hear that music, and she gets a chance to pat her feet. You see her doing that. You see her moving her head. And every day, again, that we wake up, it's something that we get to do. Life is not a chore. Life is not something that we have to do. There are so many people whose lives have been silenced by the grave. And not to sound cliche-ish, but the fact that our eyes open is an opportunity to do it again. It lets us know that there's more. It lets us know that God is not done with us. It lets us know that there is light at the end of this tunnel. It lets us know that, you know, that again, not to sound churchy, but, you know, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. You know, midnight only lasts for about, what, a minute? You know, it has an expiration date. Anything that you're going through, it has an expiration date. And again, just an opportunity to do it. That's what makes me smile, that I get to live. I get to be on the great Corey Montel Scott show. You know, I get the opportunity to talk about Jesus. I get the opportunity to do music. I get the opportunity to live. Again, I'm just grateful to be here. And even as it relates to us, we do worship. I love exhorting. And I love to remind people again, guys, Let's do it. It doesn't matter. We came in here with one job, which is to give God glory. And not even with music or clapping of our hands, but our life gives God glory. Our life, we're the only Bible. And Lord, I didn't mean to start preaching, Brother Corey, but our lives are only, it's the only Bible that some people may see all day. Everybody's not going to church. Everybody's not going to worship, if you will. But if people can see Jesus through us, then that is enough. You know, we get a chance to be walking billboards for Christ. We get a chance to be molded and shaped into who he wants us to be. We get a chance again to be a part of his master plan. And I am godly grateful. So yes, along with sweet tea, along with my favorite foods, eating, along with watching Christmas movies all year long. Aside from that, that is what makes me happy. It makes me smile.
Regina, before you go, whatever is on your heart, I want you to leave our listeners, our viewers, with some words of encouragement. Whatever is on your heart, this is your time to do that.
Okay. Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not into your own understanding, but in all of your ways, if you acknowledge him, he shall direct your path. I know that things may seem chaotic. I know that even with the election and things seeming uncertain, don't doubt God. Don't doubt him. Even if it seems like things are taking a little bit longer than what you thought, don't doubt God. God is going to do what it is that he promised. And if he doesn't do it, it's because you don't need it. If he doesn't do it, that means that he has something better. But don't doubt God. Don't allow society to make you to, again, doubt God and believe there isn't a God. And don't allow society to make you believe that there isn't light at the end of the tunnel. Just don't doubt God. Continue to keep believing. Continue to keep trusting. Again, as I said before, there'll be times in which you will not be motivated. But there has to be something on the inside that encourages you to keep going. So don't doubt God. I'm giving a whole lot of different words. Don't doubt God. Continue to keep moving. And just know that there's light at the end of the tunnel. So keep the faith.